The Business News Hour is brought to you by the Greater Des Moines Partnership, the economic and community development organization serving Central Iowa, DesMoinesMetro.com, and Arion Technology, HR and contact center solutions, all under one roof at AUREON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Friday edition of the Business News Hour, and we're so excited we get to welcome back Chef Michael Leo from the Strudel House, and we're going to be talking about a wide variance of things. Welcome back, Michael. Nice to have you here. Whatever you said, yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Let's. I really want to talk about several different things with you because I think these are all very important. One is I want to help maybe educate individuals about the difference between food in Europe and food in the United States. And Michael, by the way, is the chef and owner of the Strudel House here in Des Moines. What's the difference?
Difference is, at first, before I even start making food, I go to college, I go to school, I spent 5 years there, almost 5 years.
So you spent almost 5 years mm-hmm. in school before you went?
Yeah, before you go out and you need to learn it. You need to learn to cut meat, you need to learn to cut vegetables, you need to learn how to make sauces from scratch and everything. And your steak doesn't come prepackaged in a vacuum bag and ready to go. It comes as in a whole animal, and you have to learn how to separate it. And also is in Europe, what is the difference between American cuisine and European cuisine is. In my hometown, we eat different than in Munich or in Vienna or in northern Italy, in Milano or wherever. And this is only 3 hour, 4 hour car difference.
So in a 3 hour...
We all eat different.
You all have different types of food?
Types of foods and types of things. So can I say... bring up to the article in the paper. Can I say this is not real great food? No, I can't, because I do not know. I could not criticize a Hungarian dish from Budapest here in Des Moines, Iowa, without being physically studied and learned about it, if this is real Hungarian food.
What we're doing is, Michael has just referenced a recent Datebook article that kind of slammed your restaurant a bit.
Yeah, slammed. I don't know. It's criticism and criticism you take.
Sometimes, I get it.
And I say to my customers, you really think this is the biggest criticism that I ever got in my life?
Yeah. Well, here's what I thought was surprising about this Datebook article. And they were talking about the flavors, and mm-hmm. they said that it was bland and it wasn't. Now, one of the interesting things, and I know this because I know you. I've eaten your food, and you and I have known each other for a long time. But you cook in a very different way what most American chefs do.
My philosophy in my business is let the ingredients work or not the chef. Let the carrots work. Let the beans work. You just help them a little bit along. It doesn't need to be seasoned in pepper or thyme seasoning and all these things. You destroyed your originality of the product.
And also, something else that I know, and you've shared this with me before in the past, about sweets and mm-hmm. pastries. It's a different palate, isn't it?
It is, because really we hardly use any sugar. That's why the berries are sweet. That's why the bananas are sweet. You work with these items as you have it. Okay, sometimes because how it is in today's agriculture, we give a little bit of sugar in there. But the sweetness is not the dessert. The sugar is not the dessert. It's what you put in. Why you put then raspberries in there when you dump 5 cups of sugar in there? What's the point? No, seriously, what's the point? Why don't you use some food flavoring and eat the sugar and call it good? You know, you want to eat the flavor and the aroma of the dessert. And the dessert could be also an entree dish, as an example. When I grew up, desserts were part of our dietary meals, whether for lunch or for dinner. This was given to us, but it was not overpowering in sugar and in sweetness, because it's good to say I have a waitress in my restaurant. She studied in Salzburg. And she says she could not believe that the Austrians pretty much every day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon run to the coffee shops and eat a piece of cake and have a coffee and go back to work. And they're not fat. They're not overweight. They're not having heart attacks and stuff like this, because it's not overloaded in sugar. And that separates really one another one. And if you're not familiar with this...
If you're not familiar with the tastes.
With the tastes, with the different things. I had the opportunity to go to Strasbourg with the V to Alsace and stuff like this. And the food also kind of was, you know, not over seasoned, over spiced. It was bland. It was flavorful in my point of view, But for an American, I think they would not enjoy it.
Yeah.
Even my wife, Jody, who is used to my dining, she thought even it was a little, call it bland tasting.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what it's supposed to be. When I eat a pork chop, I want to taste the pork chop, not whatever comes with it.
All the seasoning that's with it. Our guest for the restaurant of the week is Chef Michael Leo from the really enchanting restaurant called The Strudel House, 1951 Indianola Avenue here in Des Moines. You said something about Mexican food as well that I think is very interesting.
Yeah, you know, the majority of Latin food is not spicy. Some regions, yeah, where they grow the jalapenos and stuff for this, it will be spicy there, I'm pretty sure. I have not been there, I don't know. But I've been a lot over Latin America on my cruise ship times and on vacation times, and they don't eat spicy. Nobody eats over-seasoned spice. I'm as a professional chef. I say this out loud here on the radio. Hot seasoning in food is because you have no knowledge how to cook it.
Mm.
You cover everything with fire so you don't have to worry about it. How well is the sauce or how well is the steak cooked? Because the heat and the aroma of the heat, there's good heat and bad heat, takes it away from the talent of a chef to create other bones and pieces of meat or sauce.
Got it. Chef Michael Leo, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk a little bit about one of the things that you said to me off mic, and we might as well just open it up a little bit.
I'm not afraid to say.
I know you're not. That's why you're here. One of the things that you indicated to me is you're concerned about the restaurant industry as a whole here in Des Moines,
mm-hmm.
because restaurant critics oftentimes don't know what they're talking about, A, or B, they continue to rate fine restaurants with only one or two stars, which has a negative effect on travelers.
My French friend, David Barusio from Baru 66, the last few years here in Des Moines, he got 5 stars. He's a 5-star restaurant in my point of view. Now, if you're a European or from another city around wherever you come from, on the look for Des Moines, where can I go, where can I stay, where can I do this? When this year, all of a sudden, a 5-star restaurant went down to 4 stars for whatever reason. They don't notice our newspapers all of a sudden decide to be 4 stars. Around the world, when you go on TripAdvisor and all these things, it's still 5 stars.
Yes.
So they don't know that they do that for income business, for whatever reason they decided to change that. They never really explained.
So the publication changed.
Yes, but the Europeans do not know that, or the...
So they're looking for a 5-star restaurant, but they see a 5-star restaurant.
Losing a star.
So you go, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. And this is and it's a bad image as a whole. And like my friend George Fumaro, another friend of the chefs here in Des Moines, say, nobody is a 1 and a 1.5 star. You think they're really in business to give you bad food on bad reputation? Even a McDonald's is at least a 2-star. I'm sorry. It's not all garbage. It's not great, but it's not a 1-star. You know what 1-star is? This is down in when you have no toilet or no nothing. Everybody has a pretty nice, clean place in Des Moines. I'm sorry. I stand for this. And this is one thing what the biggest beef for me is. Nobody opens a restaurant to shut it down.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry.
Why would you do that?
And everybody has a different taste. I'm sorry. If everything tastes like the Des Moines Register writer wanted it to be, then it would be boring to eat in Des Moines. Diversity is what kitchen makes great. That's how kitchen developed, how the Western cuisine developed, how the everything developed. And like I said, even on Facebook, I said, for me, the biggest beef is you go to Austria and spend 14 days there, and you come home and tell your friends, this is kind of like a wannabe German place. It's not really accurate the same. I just was at Diamanas, and I can tell you it's not German. I was just yesterday there eating, and it almost felt like eating at the machine shop.
Michael, always outspoken this Austrian is. He's Chef Michael Leo from the Strudel House. One other thing I wanted to talk with you about, and this is a brand new thing as of this past week, there are some real rattlings about the price of beef in Germany. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Yeah, I shared this with you, and this is actually they're attacking Aldi's over there because Aldi's is selling a pound of hamburgers for $1.99.
So
the Germans are very, very upset about that because they're worrying about it price dumping and changing their way of life. Because they say it's unsustainable to pay good wages and good income to people, to everybody, not just the end consuming person. Is that the farmer doesn't get any money, the butcher doesn't get any money, the distributor gets no money, and even at the store itself, at the cell, the employee is not going to get any money because on $1.99, there's not much left to share around with anybody. And so they're saying, how can you get to $1.99 is you cheat somewhere, something, somehow. Is it really premium beef? Is it really premium meat? What do you feed these cows? Or you inject them with something? Does they grow faster? Whatever you do, because you still need to make a living on $1.99 on a pound of beef. And so they're very upset because Europeans, and I am kind of like that person too, and that's why I was a little bit offended about the way how the food writer wrote about my food, because I only use premium ingredients. I do not cheat. I buy the best stuff. I don't care if I make a little less profit than the other way around. But for me, it's only the best chocolate, the best sugar, the best meat, the best milk, and what I can get to serve to my consumers. But at home, in your own kitchen for your children, when you bring this food home, you also want the best for them, because my grandmother had the best saying, this is my kingdom. My body is my kingdom. When I go to a restaurant, I don't look at the price. I buy what I want to buy because I put it in here. And this is like a recycling machine. Eventually, if we don't treat this machine right, kind of like a car, you don't put oil in it, it will break. Mm. And it will break you completely.
One of the interesting things about the article that you shared with me, and it was, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, all in German, so I had to kind of pick through it.
I will be here soon in English. I bet you it was over 100,000 people responded.
100,000 people responded to this. And the comments that were in the newspaper article that you shared with me from Germany, they were not happy about this. No. The people were not happy about this, and they were taking Aldi to task, saying, how dare you do this? Yep. How dare you feed us cheap meat? That is so different.
Very
from
anti-American.
It's so different from America, from our culture here.
Yeah.
You know, here you would have lines out the door for $1.99 a pound ground beef. Mm-hmm. They're complaining about it.
Yeah, they're complaining because they believe if it's cheap, you cheat on something, because they have the knowledge that something must be shortcutted so you can sell it that cheap.
Very interesting stuff.
But this is the restaurant industry as a whole, and this is like, okay, if we have like in Des Moines, when you have so and so many restaurants, bringing back my article about the servers and the cooks and the stuff like this, is okay, the shortcomings of that is also you don't get the service anymore like you used to. It's high school kids, a little kid here and a little kid there. Actually, when I was sitting waiting for you here, I just saw an article. It's good news for the high school kids when this summer. You get paid more, higher wages because the shortage of the labor market in Des Moines. So you come to my restaurant, if I look for a waiter or whatever, I can't find nobody. So you hire this high school kid, and he's going to tell you I want $12 an hour.
And what experience?
What
about that, Michael? Everybody that we talk to is...
And it's not, by the way, it's not the $12 an hour. It's what
it's
knowledge you have.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. One of the things that we continually hear is difficulty in finding employees. But in your business, it's the server that can make or break a restaurant. Isn't that true?
Yeah, of course. I don't know if people have been ever on a cruise. It's a very important part of it. If you have a questions or if there's an issue or whatever, the server is up to your face. With his talent, he fixes it.
All right. So let me ask you the question. So why don't you train them?
This is a good question. Is like I said by you and here, like I said, I don't have a filter, is 90% of the kids who come out of school and work for me, they can't count. They cannot count cash or whatever. It's like they look at these coins, even when you go to a grocery store today, and you give them change, they look at it. Without the computer telling him how much money he's supposed to give back, he would be lost. And I told one time recently, one kid that says, honestly, I could just rip you off left and right because you just gave me more money back than I gave you. They don't even know the bills anymore because they're so used to just swiping the card, they don't have to think. And
so one of the problems is you need willing, trainable minds to train.
Exactly. And the thing is also what's happening a lot, and I don't want to speak for other restaurants, but I know, I don't want to mention the names, is when servers make a lot of money, all of a sudden they call in the next 2 days. I'm sick, I'm not feeling well, because in their head they made enough money for the week already. Oh. And then this is good enough for them. And this is what the millennials do. This is the style they have.
That's a work ethic as well.
It's a work ethic. Mm-hmm. And also part of it is the enemy of bad-mouthing restaurants. Everybody says, oh, we treat them right. You have to work on weekends. You have to work on holidays. But I'm sorry, you go to work on Monday. I don't. And you have to learn. And also on the weekends when you're off, I'm sorry, everything of your government time is closed. So you have to take a day off to do anything at the government. I don't.
You're on.
So and you have to learn with it, and you change in your heart the way how you approach this kind of way. Even when you have a family, okay, then you're going to be a lunch cook your home at night or a lunch waiter. This is how you can change it to a positive direction.
Amazing stuff. Chef Michael Leo, ladies and gentlemen, we were going to spend some time talking about his restaurant and the great food
that
he has.
It is part of the restaurant.
But this is really part.
Everything what I just told you is the story about the Des Moines Register.
Yeah.
It's about her thinking about the food is this way and should be this way, or the unknowledge about a raclette, or the server reacted this way under this way. This is all built together in one ball. This comes around and goes around. This is all part of it.
And this is not just you, but
a lot of them.
A lot of restaurants in the area. Interesting stuff. Michael, thanks for spending
some
time.
Thank you so much, and have a good weekend. And hope to see you at Strudelhaus. Auf Wiedersehen. Dankeschön.
All right. Chef Michael Leo, ladies and gentlemen, from the Strudelhaus here in Des Moines. We're going to step aside, find out what happened today on Wall Street. All that's coming up next here on the Business News Hour.